Hello, and thank you for listening to the Skeptics in the Pub online podcast. This unedited audio is taken from Skepticamp 2024 and was recorded in front of a live audience in Manchester on the 18th of October 2024. A video of this, and many of the recordings hosted by Skeptics in the Pub online, are still available on our YouTube channel. We hope you enjoy this podcast, and if you would like to support what we do, you can join our Patreon. Find us at Patreon, Skeptics in the Pub, online.
So now we're coming on to our last talk of this session, and we welcome Tom today, fresh from his appearance on The Chase, was it?
Well, I'll tell you about that.
Okay, and the other thing, the very unusual thing today is Tom's not going to be talking about flags.
Nope. That's a good start, thanks very much. Right then. Okay. So my talk is called A Bony M to Pick. Always start with a pun. But first off, I need to start with a bit of me news, because I know I'm going to get asked for these couple of things. One is, how's your brain? Because a couple of years ago, I was up here saying I had a stroke. No, I didn't have a stroke. I had something called a hemorrhagic cavernoma. What is that? So there is a tiny, well, it's not that tiny, it's about a raspberry-sized sort of bundle of weird blood vessels in my brain, and it bled. And my brain filled up with blood, and it gave the impression that I had a stroke. So I've taken it to calling it a hipster stroke. It's like, yeah, I had a hemorrhagic cavernoma. You wouldn't have heard of it. Anyway, so as Cleo said, there it is on the left. Horrible, but... later scanners on the right. It's nice and dark, not bleeding, it's behaving. That's great. So, next question, when are you going to be on The Chase? Well, I've been waiting for ages, and I can tell you I'm going to be on Monday, 5 o'clock, ITV. There I am. And so you can all have QED. You can all come back, and you can watch my appearance on TV and notice that my head is far too big for my face. But that's... my mean news, so let's get on with the actual talk. So Rasputin, it was a track brought out by the band Bony M in 1978. Instant classic, huge disco hit. But let's have a look at the lyrics. So there's stuff like, he could preach the Bible like a preacher. Imagine that. To Moscow chicks, he was such a lovely dear, Russia's greatest love machine and lover of the Russian queen. But who was Rasputin? Well, he was this Russian mystic, but he was born a Siberian peasant. He grew very close to the imperial family and he was murdered by aristocrats. So that's my talk. We can go home. Right, okay, so... but one lyric that really sticks out, in his eyes a flaming glow. You can look at pictures of Rasputin, which are over 100 years old, and be terrified, because, yeah, he had one hell of a stare. But to understand Rasputin in the context, you have to have a look at what Russia was like in the late 19th century. One word, it was backwards. It had an absolute monarch. It didn't have a parliament or anything like that. You had one man making all the decisions, the czar. They were using the Julian calendar, so they were about 2 weeks behind everyone else. Little industry and high levels of illiteracy. So mid-19th century, you had Alexander II, and it looked like things were kind of getting better because he abolished the practice of serfdom, so he earned the nickname Tsar Liberator, and there was talk of some maybe a constitution, maybe a few rights, that kind of thing. But that all got put to bed when he got blown up by terrorists, leaving his son Alexander III to take over. And he was the complete opposite. He went, no, we are not changing anything. The Romanovs have ruled Russia for hundreds of years. Not going to change with me. So with his authoritarian rule, he was also known as a peacemaker, though. Russia did not fight any major wars during his reign. And sort of things seemed to be chugging along until he suddenly died of kidney disease without much warning, really. And that left his son, Nicholas II, to take over. So he became Tsar at 26, becoming, you know, one of the most powerful men in the world at 26, supposedly declaring, I'm not ready. And you can really tell the difference between the two men just by looking at pictures of them next to each other. So on the left, Alexander III, that image just screams, I'm in charge. I'm the Tsar. And then on the right, Nicholas II, it's almost like he's screaming, yeah, sorry. Yeah, sorry, I'm only here because my dad died. So he had a very, very troubled reign. So after his coronation in 1896, you had the Gdynka tragedy, where over 1,000 people were crushed to death, just like trying to get some food or a souvenir or something. And then his brother George dies, so there's no male successor, so everyone's going, come on. When Nicholas II was born, your grandfather was still on the throne, so come on, what are you doing? In 1904, there's the Russo-Japanese War, and as part of the fallout of that, there's the 1905 revolution, where that was pretty much the end of absolutist rule. Then there's the First World War in 1914, and he ends up abdicating in 1917. He was married to a woman called Alexandra Fyodorovna, but she was born Princess Alex of Hesse, or Hesse, so German, Lutheran, but she converts to Russian Orthodoxy and so that she can marry Nicholas. And in her new religion, she becomes fascinated by mystics and the sort of more occult, I don't want to use the word occult, but that sort of side of her new religion. Together, they had 4 daughters, Olga, Tatiana, Maria, and Anastasia. And I remember their names. Yes. Here they are standing on a cannon. And they're fascinating to study because they had kind of the iPhones of their day, these little box cameras. So they made loads and loads of photo albums, which still survive to this day. But everyone's still going, you've got 4 daughters, that's not good. You need a son. So finally, Alexei's born. And so everyone goes, yay, there's an heir to the throne. But there was a big problem because Alexandra was a granddaughter of Queen Victoria. And like Queen Victoria, she was a carrier for haemophilia. And Alexei had it. And the problem with haemophilia is if you cut yourself and bleed all over your trousers, as I did earlier, usually you'd be fine. But if you're a haemophiliac, that's a big problem. So in the meantime, Rasputin is on the rise. People call him a monk. He wasn't a monk. He was a staret, so this wandering mystic. He sort of rises through the ranks of the Orthodox Church and gets a reputation as a bit of a healer. And he's introduced to the imperial family in 1905. So the story goes, as Boney M. Singh, she believed he was a holy healer who would heal her son. So supposedly, whenever Alexei was affected by his haemophilia, Rasputin would show up and magically cure him. And it's a very interesting question for skeptics. Did Rasputin really heal Alexei? There's this idea that the doctors were giving him aspirin and Rasputin stopped that. Also, there's this idea that Rasputin said, don't let him bother. Don't let the doctors bother him too much. I think it's personally, I think it's explained by regression to the mean. But lover of the Russian queen, no. There is absolutely no evidence that Rasputin was lover of a Russian queen. That is straight up communist propaganda. So Boney M, I'm sorry, but that's that's what you're doing with that. But there are loads of myths and legends around Rasputin. One is the famous Yar incident, where he was supposedly having dinner. He just gets up on the table, drops his trousers and goes, this is what really rules Russia. Didn't happen. Russia's greatest love machine? Yes, but a lot of it's problematic, so I won't go into that too much. Plus, I'm running out of time. So in Russia, you have the 1905 revolution, where the Tsar's powers are extremely curtailed, so there's a parliament and a constitution. And Russia continues going downhill. And in 1916, the First World War's being fought for a couple of years, and you have this ridiculous situation where Nicholas II has gone to the front line against the advice of absolutely everyone, leaving Alexandra running things in St. Petersburg, and Alexandra is heavily influenced by Rasputin. This is a ridiculous situation. This would be like having some ex-game show orange host as president of the USA or something. It's crazy. So various people say, right, we've got to do something about this. So enter Prince Felix Yusupov. Then one night some men of high standing set a trap, they're not to blame. That's a really weird lyric. They were to blame. They shot him in the face. come to visit us, they kept demanding, and he really came. And so Rasputin already had this reputation as being really hard to kill because he was just out walking one day and someone jumps out and stabs him in the stomach. He survived. They put some poison into his wine. He drank it all and said, I feel fine. They didn't quit. They wanted his head and so they shot him till he was dead. Now, but all we know is that he was shot in the face and then thrown into the River Neva. Now, if I just killed the most hated man in the country, I might embellish it a bit. Yeah, so he was buried at this sort of royal retreat called Tsarskoye Selo, but when Kerensky took over following the February Revolution, they dug him up and they burned him. So in conclusion, Boney M, bits of it are right, but a lot of it is total fabrication. But it got me thinking, what would be a modern equivalent of Rasputin? Well, I reckon if you took the voice of Morgan Freeman, the eyes of Cillian Murphy. Sorry. The charisma of Barack Obama, the sexual proclivity of Boris Johnson, and resistance to death of Henry Kissinger, rotten hell, you genocidal bastard, you would get Rasputin. Just.
Thank you very much. There's a whole load of questions that really aren't questions, but...
Oh, great.
I apparently have to go with, is Igor rocking the Rasputin style?
Well, if you can find him. well, you can look at his eyes, his beard, and judge for yourself.
We'll have to ask Igor whether he wants the answer to be yes or no.
Yeah, just
we?
Don't challenge him to a staring competition.
Okay. sorry. Were there many new flags after the collapse of the Soviet Union?
Yes, of course they were.
Should we move swiftly on from that one?
Shall I dig out my slides from my last talk here?
We'd love that, but I don't think we've got time. Oh, God, can we expect a follow-up next year, please, Tom, on the Rivers of Babylon?
No.
We must have some serious questions here.
Don't worry if there's not.
There are, but I think Gerald's having fun. Is this fascination with weird, scary mystics, does it happen somewhere... Does this fascination happen elsewhere in the Western world, or is it a Russian quirk?
Well, we're sceptics. There's plenty of people who have supposed powers, not quite at the level of Rasputin, but, you know, there's various faith healers and whatever that people look to. So, I don't think it's purely a Russian thing, though. No.
And this sounds like a joke question, but actually I think it's quite serious. If Rasputin was alive today, would he be an Instagram influencer?
I don't think he himself would be. He wouldn't be the person taking the pictures, but he would definitely be posing with people. You know, people would run up to him and want to get snapped with him, and he'd be looking down the camera like that.
I'm getting terrible Russell Brand vibes here.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, not, yeah, yeah. That's not a bad comparison, actually.
Oh, God, Gerald. So, was his first name Rara?
No. No. The serious answer, his first name was Grigori.
Thank you. can I ask you, what was it like being on The Chase?
Oh, brilliant. Buy me a drink, I'll tell you all about it.
You'll get bought some drinks. And that's it. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
That was the Skeptics in the Pub online podcast. For more sceptical content, including information about future talks, please like us on Facebook, follow at SITP on Twitter, or head to our website at sitp.online, where you'll also find a link to all the ways you can get in touch with us, including our Discord server.
Music in this episode was provided by Thola Bora and used with permission. Until next time, thanks for listening.